Yeah.
Ready, right?
Yeah, ready.
So guys, now Mark will present his topic about fine-grained access control.
Hi everyone.
Hello.
My name is Mark. I'm a software engineer in the LexD team at Canonical. Today I'm going to be talking about access management in LexD and in MicroCloud as well. But before we get started, I'll just tell you a little bit about what LexD is. So LexD is a hypervisor for containers and virtual machines. You can run it quite easily, just snap install LexD, and then you can run your virtual machines. But it can also be clustered. You can use it for a home lab, for example. Or you could also deploy it as a very large, data center on a server rack. And MicroCloud is essentially a packaging of LexD with some other associated tooling. So you can use Oven or MicroOven for software-defined networks, and Ceph for software-defined storage. And together, that comes together as a kind of multi-tenanted environment where you can have access control to manage different projects, different instances, and so on. Just as we go through this talk, just try and keep in mind this image. So if you imagine LexD as a set of Raspberry Pis or a small Raspberry Pi cluster, there's not really a lot of space to deploy any extra services. So, if you have MicroOven, you have LexD, MicroCeph, and you're deploying your virtual machines on top of that, you don't really want to have a lot of bandwidth taken up by additional services. Now, we did have an existing method of authorization for users in LexD. So up until before this OpenFGA work was implemented, authentication with LexD was only with mutual TLS. And what we were doing was associating each user's certificate, their public certificate, with a particular project in LexD. And as long as they were associated with that project, they could do anything inside that project, except for editing the project configuration itself. But a call was put out to improve the authorization process and improve the management and make this much more fine-grained. And so to make this work, we looked to OpenFGA. OpenFGA provides a framework and a set of modeling concepts, which makes it much more easy to reason about access control. And so OpenFGA is relationship-based access control. And so generally, you will model the relationships between different entities in your system in order to make a decision about, is user X able to perform action Y on resource Z? And so with OpenFGA, we can ask the question, does user X have relation, can exec with instance C1? So in this case, we're asking the question, is someone able to get a shell, for example, inside that instance? And with OpenFGA's modeling language, you can have a direct association or a direct relation between the user, the instance, and the relation can exec. And so in OpenFGA's modeling system, it kind of looks a bit like this. So you see, you have type identity, that's the user, you have type instance, and you have a set of relations, and then in the square brackets here, you have the identity, so an identity can be directly related. And that's good to an extent, but it's also going to be a bit of a headache to manage. For example, if you want to have some users where you want to give them access to all instances in a project, then you want to have some level of computed relations. And OpenFGA provides that as well. It's very nice. So what you can do is define a relation between a project and an instance, and then you can inherit these relations down the chain. So you can say, I have a project, that's related, have an instance, sorry, that's related to the project that it sits within. And then I might have canexec because I have canoperate instances on the related project and so on. An OpenFGA's server will compute all the different paths from which you're able to get these different relations. And that's great, but it's very complex. So in order to be able to compute these different relations, you have to tell OpenFGA how these different entities in your system are related to each other. So for example, you might say there's a project and that has relation project to instance C1. And this is how OpenFGA is able to actually do these computed relations. But the problem that we had was that actually synchronizing all these relationships with the external OpenFGA server can actually get quite complicated. Various situations where you might, for example, you go to create a network, you tell OpenFGA I'm creating a network, oh, creating that network fails, and then you miss removing that tuple back from the OpenFGA's database, and you can leave things hanging around. So you've essentially got an external cache of all the resources in your system, and that can get quite tricky to keep in sync. Another thing was that OpenFGA requires a HA Postgres to be, you know, for redundancy, and that's not something that we can really feasibly deploy in our system of three Raspberry Pis. So we need something that we can use in kind of air-gapped environments or on a small system that would work for us. And we ended up using OpenFGA in quite an unconventional way. OpenFGA itself is written in Golang, and so is LexD. And so we were able to instantiate an OpenFGA server within LexD and implement our own version of their OpenFGA data store interface. And their data store interface is essentially just an interface that says, when I call this method, these are the kinds of things that I want to return from the database. And so ours just reads directly from DQLite. DQLite is our backing database for LexD. It's just SQLite, but distributed using the Raft algorithm. So just a couple of things about this OpenFGA data store interface. There are two kind of primary methods that needed to be implemented. They really are called in different scenarios or different methods that are called against the OpenFGA server. One of them is called on check requests, where I'm checking, does this identity specifically have this relation to this object? We have a method called read user set tuples, which basically says list all the tuples where the user is a given type, and yeah, relate to a given object with a given relation. And yeah, the next one, read starting from user, list all the tuples that are related to a given user. So given a group, for example, what permissions does that group have? And so to implement this, we had to add a couple of tables to LexD. One of them being the identities table. So every authenticated user in LexD will go into the identities table. For each identity, we have a list of groups. And for each group, we have a list of permissions. And yeah, demo time. So, I should have put my screen on duplicate rather than present. Okay. Just give me one second. Okay, so this is the LexDs user interface. Now, here I'm able to view projects. I can create projects, for example. I can do whatever I like, and the reason for that is my identity here, me, is a certificate, and the groups that I'm a member of here, there's one group, and the group is admins. If I go into groups, you can see that in permissions, I have this server admin permission. So I've just given myself full access to LexD over the HTTPS API, but as if I was connecting over the Unix socket. What I can do is now log in as an OIDC user, so I'll just open up a guest profile here. And we'll cancel that. And so if I log in with SSO, give us so the first thing we can see, it just says project not found. And that's because when you first log in as an OIDC user, you don't have any permissions in the system at all because you're not related to any groups, so you're not a member of any groups. So if we go back to our window where we're an administrator and now go into identities, we can see that the OIDC user is now present. So they've been saved in the database as a result of their login. And they're not a member of any groups. So what I'll do is I'll create a group. I'm going to call it my group. I'm going to add my OIDC identity to that group. Go back. And then I'll give it some permissions. So the permissions I'm going to add to it are so I'm going to be can view on project default, so they'll be able to see the default project, but they won't be able to actually view any of the resources that are inside it. This is a very fine-grained entitlement that just means you can view the project and that's it. And then the next thing I'm going to do is give them the user role on instance Noble. So the user role is a built-in role that we created, and we call them built-in roles because they're essentially defined by our OpenFGA model. Save. Okay, so the OIDC user that's in the other window is now a member of the group, my group, with those permissions. So now I should be able to see instance Noble. Great stuff. And then if we go to configuration, name is Noble. The description, let's try and edit the description. And I'm unable to update it, as expected. However, I am able to get a terminal session. And so that's the gist of how it works. Right, let's go back to our slides. So, just to recap why we did this, it was really the absolute requirement that we were able to deploy LexD on a set of Raspberry Pis. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that you would do this if you have a kind of cloud deployment. You know, you can use any, you're able to just deploy Postgres, fine, just use OpenFGA as it's necessary. But the pros are, works out of the box, no Postgres deployment necessary. Another great thing is, you know, we don't really have to worry at all about synchronizing all the tuples for the system. And also easier model migrations. So model migrations in OpenFGA can get quite complicated. Generally, you will have to create a new store with a new model, and then you would migrate the data over. Or in the same store, you can add a new model, and you'd have to have a kind of intermediary model while you migrate all these changes. But in our case, all we need to do is essentially just use the existing system of database migrations that we already have, or patches. The cons are complexity. Implementing the OpenFGA data store and all the various different SQL queries in order to query the DQLite database was quite complex. Additionally, you know, storing user information, like in order to be able to manage users in this way, we do have to store their email address, which is in a digital place for example, GDPR compliance for where to delete it. Yes, the OpenFGA data store interface tends to get updated fairly regularly by the OpenFGA devs. And that's nothing on them. They didn't intend for this to be used as a public API, although they did expose it. And they're cool with it. We've had a meeting with them. Their community is really lovely. And then also just generally, this is much slower than the existing authorization mechanism that we had, because that one was fully cached. This one does have to call out to the database. And generally, OpenFGA they've optimized their database schema in such a way where these calls are terrific, like tremendously fast. Whereas we don't have the luxury of being able to do that. And so we have a few things to do to speed this up. It's already quite fast, actually. We've done some work on caching to improve the speed. But yeah, thank you very much. Any questions? Nope.